Well, on your way in, hopefully you received an outline. Now's a good time to take that out so you can take notes and write down anything that might come to you, anything that God might say to you. We like you to take notes because it's a way you can kind of refer back to the week. Maybe God will have a thought come back to you, and maybe somebody will ask you about church on Saturday night, and you can use it to share. For those watching on Facebook or watching the web broadcast, you can find those outlines on our website at westbridgecc.org under the resources sections as well. This past Tuesday night, we said goodbye to year 2019, and we left behind the teens decade. It's traditional for such a time as this for people to spend time reflecting on events of the recent past or to set or reset their course for the immediate future in the form of what people call New Year's resolutions. They reflect on the last year, and as I reflect on the last year, there were some things that hit our family kind of hard. Some of which include the loss of our dog, Mushu, who was a part of our family for over 15 years. Increasing demands and pressures relating to Shanda's role as a part of our local township committee. News of the impending relocation of my position, requiring me to seek out and find and secure a new job in order to stay at my company, Mars. And a young woman that's very dear to Shanda and I, whose friendship with a male coworker at her company required intervention by that company in order to deal with what was going on that led to concerns of stalking and safety, to just name a few. As Shanda and I talked about some of the difficult events that were happening in our life, our minds quickly shifted to the events and lives of friends and extended families, those here, and those who are dear to us, who also have faced events and situations that have impacted them. People who've went through financial hardship, whether it's through a loss of a job or the inability to work, people struggling to put food on the table or pay for the bare necessities, finding a new tumor after years of remission, a friend having to have knee replacement surgery, marriages both long and short under attack, including several separations and a divorce, homes changing to empty nests as grown children start life on their own, individuals who invested greatly in a dating relationship that was not meant to be, cars and trucks totaled as a result of an accident, long-standing friendships turning unhealthy that had to be ended in the mourning, the loss of loved ones. Likely for you and your family and friends, there are things that you would want to add to that list. Thinking about people in our communities and expanding it to the United States and even the world, expanding that, the list of hardships would grow exponentially in number, frequency, and severity. We must take the good with the bad to accept both the negative and positive aspects. At least that's what the world would have us believe. You and I just need to take it. We need to allow it to impact us. We need to allow it to give us harm, to make us feel guilt. We need to take the pain that it creates and influence who we are, how we think and how we act and speak. Well, that's not at all what the Bible instructs of us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As Christians, we're not simply supposed to take the good with the bad. We're to remain grateful and faithful as we manage through life. I know for Shanda and I, while 2019 had a few difficulties, those items pale in comparison to the immeasurable number of things we have to be grateful for. Yeah, the duality of the good and the bad. But through it all, those bad times, Shanda and I can stand strong in the times of difficulty because of the relationships we've developed. People who are there for us when we need them. Whether it's one another, our children, our families, or our church family, and our closest friends. These are the people in our lives that provide a sense of belonging and perspective, no matter the circumstances. Thankfully, our community, our band of brothers and sisters in Christ, is incredibly strong. When God created man, he did not intend for any of us to live the Christian life alone. We were created in his image, so we're relational beings. We were created to journey life together. Everyone wants to belong. Everyone wants to fit in, be accepted for who they are, to be included, to be a part of the group. Social networking illustrates the core of our human spirit. Online and Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, we expect our posts to be liked. We seek our posts to be loved. We need to be praised. We want to be included. We want someone to follow us online and care about our lives and comment accordingly. We want others to share our life with. This innate need for acceptance, for being part of a community and a group, can't be met through technology, but rather through community. Most importantly, the Bible tells us the power that comes from Christian community. I read an article this week which put the words what I and many others have found here at Westbridge Community Church, which is so incredibly special. Christian community is simply sharing a common life in Christ. It moves beyond the self-interested isolation of private lives and beyond the superficial social contact that passes for Christian fellowship. The biblical ideal of community challenges us instead to commit ourselves to life together as the people of God. Let's stop right here and capture this key truth in our outlines. Life intended requires God-centered community. Life intended requires God-centered community. As we investigate the power of God-designed, God-centered community, don't extrapolate this to thinking that you need to break ties with any other helpful, beneficial, non-God-centered community that you're a part of. Instead, look at this for what it's intended. God-centered community is a place where we can access a power that's life-altering, life-changing, life-fulfilling. Power that comes when a community of believers focused on God live their lives out together. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12, where we'll read tonight's text. It's instructions for Christian life that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write down for our benefit. If you don't have your Bible, or you didn't bring it tonight, don't worry. The pertinent scripture will come up on the screen behind me. Please do bring your Bible, though, with you. And if you don't have one, or you don't have the means to get a Bible, then I'd love to talk to you after the service. And I'll have one here for you next week. Let's get started. We're going to read the whole chapter, so bear with me. Verse 1, and I'll be reading from the Message in translation. Verse 1, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. In speaking to you, out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you, living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it to all of you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we're not. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes wide open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on to dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be attentive in hospitality. Verse 14. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. In verse 20 and 21, our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. After explaining the essential truth of our relationship with God, Paul spends the remainder of a letter giving us instructions for our walk with him. He gives us specific instructions concerning how we believers are to put our spiritual lives together. The chapter can be broken down into three different movements. Step one, you and I should devote ourselves completely to God. Such a commitment may seem like a lot to ask. The same God who rescued us from sin also gives us his power. This act that devoting ourselves, it's voluntary. It's also quite serious to God, where our minds become transformed, the Bible tells us. No longer are our thoughts shaped by the ideals of the world. Instead, they're reshaped by God himself. Step two, serve others. People who are committed to God, well, they're easy to spot. Their humble service gives them away. They know God's given them specific talents, interests, and abilities, and they use those gifts to serve others. They also recognize that everyone is different. Every person is God's creation in whom he loves. And step three, love others. People who are committed to God sincerely love those around them. Paul describes that honest, sacrificial love in several verses we read. Christians are called to treat both believers and non-believers with such kindness that our relationship to Jesus is evident through our actions. As Christians, you and I have access to the greatest power ever known. The power of God planted within us the moment we surrendered our hearts to our Creator. We were reborn. We became a part of God's community, God's family. Our relationship with Him was restored, and He plants within us His Spirit that helps us connect with God and God with us. The moment we ask Him to lord over our life, we get victory over death, certainty of eternity in heaven, and the promise and power of life to the full on earth, all made possible by what Jesus did for us when He died on that cross and He rose 3 days later, conquering death. Matthew 18, 20 will give us this first insight we can capture into the power of a God-centered community. A God-centered community attracts the Holy Spirit. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are gathered together because of me, you can be sure I'll be there. That's God talking. The power of God-centered community attracts the Holy Spirit. When you and I come together, God is there. God is here, as we heard and as we know, as we welcomed Him. He's a part of our group. He's here. He's a part of our family. He shows up. And He's not just here. He's not just a member. He's the most important member of the community because He produces the fire. He produces the power, the work through the Holy Spirit in my heart and in your heart. Think of the Holy Spirit as a flame. You and I as a candle. At the time of salvation, it's a tiny flame that's lit within us. Community, Christian community, gathering together, living life together is an essential element. Because when we come together, when we walk the Christian walk together, we experience that power that comes. The power attracts God. It attracts His Spirit, and He's with us. Tonight, I stand before you incredibly blessed, both grateful and privileged to have walked the last 16 years of my Christian walk with many of you that are here. It's here where I've personally experienced and witnessed what's possible when Christians come together, when Christians serve together, when Christians learn together and walk life's roads together. The next insight into the power of community is nearly impossible to summarize in a few words. I just don't know how to capture this power any better other than it produces a family. From the very beginning until this very day, this church, this family has accepted me for who I am, treats me with all the love and care and kindness that one expects to receive only from their biological family. Come as you are and become who God wants you to be is what we express to those who ask, what should I expect walking into Westbridge on a Saturday night? God's church should be a place of belonging, a place where everyone feels accepted and included. Of course, no one and nothing outside of God Himself can be perfect. So for those listening online and who have recently joined us or even new tonight, please don't expect to find a perfect church. Don't expect to find perfect people. We all have struggles and challenges. But as I said before, and I'll say it again, what I found here at Westbridge is very special. And I'm grateful that God has blessed me with this community of believers. It's here where God has fashioned my deepest and most trusted friendships. When I'm not with my band of brothers, life can get me down. It can drain my energy reserve and reduce my zeal for life. Without exception, though, men's group, couples group, church on Saturday night, getting a text from a friend, getting together outside of church with one of you, well, that uplifts my spirits. That fills my gas tank. It's a source of strength. Strength I need to go back into the battlefield of my life. Strength to achieve God's work together. Verses 4-6 in tonight's scripture teach us the importance of God's chosen people working together. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us find our meaning and function as a part of the body. But as a chopped off finger and a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we're not. Come as you are, excellently formed, and become what God has created you to be, a marvelously functioning part in Christ's body, the scripture tells us. Not only have I found acceptance, care, kindness, and strength, this family is a great source of inspiration and motivation, a community that believes in me and encourages me as I grow in my walk with Christ and serve in the areas in which God has asked me to serve. Besides my wife and my mother, whenever Pastor Drew asks me to speak, there's at least one person in my family here who I always want to see. And that's Miss Sherry. I always want to see Miss Sherry. She's so kind and gracious. And you all know that. You know that already if you know her. But for me, she's a blessing and an encourager. So much so that if I walked over to that piano and I had them turn it on, I got no talent, I'm telling you. But if I played that piano and I banged on it and I tried to sing and you guys all laughed, she would still rush to the front at the end of the service to be the first in line to give me a hug and share specific and meaningful words of encouragement. In this family, I found fellowship. I found fun. Yeah, church can be fun. And I've discovered true friendships. Through the power of Christ in and among us, I've seen individuals in this family open their home for a period of time for someone in need of a place to stay. I've seen people come together to not only rebuild a family's failing porch roof, they bought the materials. Vehicles filled with boxes and furniture, helping families move from place to place. I've seen friendships forged that have already, through what's happened, proven they'll stand the test of time. I've seen people hand ShopRite gift cards to someone anonymously asking them, could you please just find someone who needs this? And I've seen individuals in this family serve God and others like no other church I've ever been a part of. Westbridge is run on volunteer power. And having been to many churches, I can say nowhere have I seen the level of opportunity, the support people receive, and the amount of people involved. Most churches, their activities and events are run by a very small number of paid or volunteer resources. While the majority of the church choose to attend namelessly and tithe, not interested in getting involved. I'm not saying those who attend and those who tithe and don't want to get involved are doing anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Church is exactly where they should be because that's where God is. And that's where he wants to meet them and they should be wanting to meet him. That's why we're here. I'm just saying here at Westbridge, we want this to be a place where God uses everyone. We have seen how God uses people, anyone, everyone, to accomplish his work once they become involved. It's incredible. Being a part of a God-centered community has produced for me, and I'm sure others here, a second family, an eternal family, where they're accepted and treated with Christ-like love. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want to read it again. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I also want to read Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. If it wasn't enough, the Bible captures even greater power that comes from giving the steering wheel of our life over to God and being a part of God-centered community. When we walk together, we experience power that reshapes our thinking, and we're surrounded by others that promotes spiritual growth. God uses his church, you and I, to help one another become more Christ-like. Journeying and discovering life with the other Christians is an essential element of God's design for how you and I grow more like Christ. The power of his community shows this community, well, they show the way. They show the way through prayer. They show the way through teaching, through worship, both in instruction and by the way they live by example. Church is a place where we teach each other. And we can hold each other accountable. When I hear what God is teaching others, it teaches me as well. When I listen to wise counsel and careful analysis of the scripture, it helps me understand what God's trying to say and how I might apply it in my life. When I see how God is changing the lives of those around me, how he uses them to further his kingdom, it inspires me. It reaffirms the confidence I should have in both God's provision and the promise that he has given to me that he's going to help me grow. It increases my faith and obedience in Christ. And the family I found here challenges me to a higher standard of living. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 give us a clear indication of how vital and important we should get together, how important it is we get together. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I'm thankful for the work God has done in me thus far through his Spirit within. Grateful for the wisdom I receive from the community of Christ-like focused believers that it has in my life. He's grown me as a father. He's grown me as a better husband, a better friend. I'm less selfish. I'm more caring. More giving. More serving than ever before. Before coming to Westbridge, I spent a lot of years of my life attending church, listening, learning, struggling to apply what I could on my own. But here, when I got off the bench, when I became a part of the family and I did life with others, well, that's when I underwent true spiritual growth. But my journey, it's not over. In fact, I remember distinctly this week, quote unquote, a discussion I had with my wife regarding something I had done that was not indicative of the husband she deserves, but it was her godly counsel and her correction that I needed to hear and accept, that also served as a reminder that it doesn't matter how far we've come, no matter how we've grown, how much we've grown, there's always room to be more like Christ. Community is such an essential element, because when we come together, when we walk the Christian walk, we experience its power. Power that causes our flame to shine stronger and brighter. And as we shine, others see the difference. As you heard, a number of people in the Westbridge family went down to Atlanta. It was actually the 8th year, I believe, that folks have gone down to this Passion Conference. So 8 years, this year 30 people, and you heard 65,000 people were in this arena. Now, I can't imagine, but I'm gonna anyway. Could you imagine the people of Atlanta watching this sea of young adults? As Miss Kelly said, it could have been anywhere else. On New Year's Eve, sea of young adults wanting to worship their God, wanting to cry out to Him, wanting to show the world this is what life is supposed to be. I imagine it was quite the spectacle. I imagine it was amazing, life-changing, when God gets people together in His name. And tonight, we want to show and share you a little bit of that. They see a love that's different. When people of Christ come together, there's fire, there's light, there's compassion and acceptance that's so different from what people would get other places. When you and I seek God in our lives, when we come together and we learn and grow and serve, it embodies Christ's presence on earth. The power of God is shown through you. The power of Christian community reaches farther than bringing just you and I to greater strength and maturity. Through Christ-like character and action, others witness God in the world. We model what it's like to know Him, what it's like to experience true love. People see the difference in us, the change God can make in those who seek Him. Others are shown life as God intended when He created us, the life that's waiting for all who believe. As disciples, we are the light of the world, it says in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, shining like bright stars, reflecting the brightness and glory of God. This last year, an event occurred in which a number of West Virginians were invited guests, and they stood out like a sore thumb, in a good way. With every opportunity that presented itself, meeting and engaging new people, moving around chairs and tables, helping and serving those attending, tossing out used plates, cups, and the like, washing dishes, and more, Christ's presence shined brightly. At this event was a pastor of another church, who not only remarked at just how awestruck he was to see such vigor in Christ's followers, he hasn't stopped texting and talking to Pastor Drew about it. He's trying to understand what makes this little old church, and more specifically the people in it, from top to bottom, special and different from a lot of other churches out there, including his. As Pastor Drew shared this story with me in the context of discussing tonight's topics together, the question was there, but we couldn't quite answer it at the time. What is it about this community of God followers, this family, that makes life seeking God together so special? How does it happen? Well, the answer for certain, none of this would be possible without God. His Spirit in and among us is essential. Along with that came this aha moment that I got this week as God spoke to me, and it was this: community doesn't just happen. It's cultivated by you. Community doesn't happen. It's cultivated by you. It's unleashed when we band together, when we show up at church and go to small groups, when we serve together in our community, when we're there, when we do our part to love and be welcoming and serve others, when we seek God and apply truth in our lives. The community power unleashed by you and me produces family. It fosters spiritual growth, and it exemplifies Christ's presence, God on earth. It doesn't just happen. It's cultivated. You and I are the flame. You and I are the means God uses to reach others. The lost should see God in us, and he calls us to shine. To wrap things up, let me quickly give you three action steps, suggestions, if you will, for the new year. Three things each of us can do to cultivate the power of community. If you do this, I'm convinced you will personally experience and witness the power of God in your life, the power of God's family. You will grow spiritually. The impact won't just be on you, it'll be on those around you and far beyond. First, be there. The Bible makes it clear we need to gather together, but it requires us to show up. When the doors are open on Saturday night, you and I need to be there. When our small group meets, we should be there. If you're looking for a friend, start by being a friend. The action is with you. The action is with me. Are you looking for a place to fit in? A place of acceptance? My experience has confirmed this place. The people of Westbridge is where you'll find some answers, because we're seeking them with you. Because God is among us. But you have to be here. The next action I would suggest, listen. Making connections with others is about listening to different viewpoints, having good conversations, getting invested in each other's lives. Learning starts with listening. Wisdom comes from listening, not speaking. Forging friendships, growing our faith, requires listening and prayer. You and I were born with two ears and one mouth, and there's a reason why. Being there and listening leads us to the final action step I would suggest, and that is contribute. Get involved. God has something waiting for you to do to further his kingdom. Something in which he's waiting for you to accomplish. He's given you talents, abilities, and skills. You all have them. Don't be fooled. That's a lie. You can be God's ears. You can be God's eyes. You can speak his words. You can be his arms, his legs to those who are around you. But you have to get involved. As I said earlier, I spent decades of my life attending church. But when I got off the bench and I learned where God would have me contribute, it changed my life. I began a way of life, a way of community among other believers, where I worked to give more than I received, where I tried to serve more than I was being served. And you know what happened? What I realized? What I get out of being a part of this family from those who invested in me? What I get is in fact greater and more valuable than what I give. I'd like to invite the band and the worship team to come back up, and we're going to close out with one more song. The song that we're going to sing is called God of the City. And God's here. This is kind of our community. This is our city, Westbridge. But it's not just these walls that define our city. It's each of us. So as we leave here this night, after we're finished and we hug and we shake hands and we check in on one another, let's take this into 2020 to show God, show people around us that God's city, his people, in us. Let's be the light of 2020. Let's do what we can to grow our faith, to come together as God would ask. And it'll change me. It'll change you. Let's go for it. Would you stand, please? Father God, Lord, we thank you for meeting with us here tonight. We thank you for always being there, even when we're not paying attention, even when we're not interested. You're waiting. You're waiting for us to turn your way and ask you to get involved. Father, there's greater things you have in store for us in this city, in this family called Westbridge, in this area of Alpha, in the county of Warren, the state of New Jersey, on this earth. Show us what you would have us do. Keep us humble. Teach us and continue to give us the strength that you have thus far. We thank you. We praise you for everything that you have done. In the name of your Son, we ask you just go with us this week. Give us strength and courage to begin a new year differently, focused on you. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock Saturday night. Pastor Drew will be back.